Hey, this is episode 43, and meow, that is hot.
You got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Wanna raise the insult, T-Bane. Lower class punk ass, I was Northwood grade. I had it made. Spent my nights drinking with my mates. Just a short bus ride.
Going on, this is Mike, this is Eagle and Vice, and this is episode 43. Super happy to be here one more time, really pushing season 2, trying to get it going, rolling. My schedule is filling up. I have some great stuff on the go. Got in touch with a friend. I'm going to be going up to Pembroke probably in a week or two to do a sit down with a friend of mine that I've known for probably 15, 16 years. Very, very interesting dude. And I can't wait for that. Got tons of local stuff coming in, local businesses, local music. And just like today, I have a guest in the studio, in South Hood studio. And his name is Larry Russell. And he's the man. He's the bass player extraordinaire. He's the Renaissance man. He's the bass player. He's the hot sauce maker. He's the restaurant owner. And he's also a chef. Let's call him a chef. I think he's a chef. You know? He cooked up some great conversation. So there you go. Yeah, he is the bass player for the local band Slim and Popular. He is also the co-owner of the new restaurant, which is amazing, which is called Meow That's Hot. And he is also a partner in Meow That's Hot Hot Sauce. And this is going to continue on with my hot sauce theme. Last week I had Heiko from Heiko's Hot Sauce on, Heiko and Angela, and Mr. Vandal on, and we talked about the Riptide's new hot sauce through Heiko. But this week we're talking about Meow That's Hot, and Larry brought out a whole bunch of hot sauces for me to try, and I actually do an online, on-podcast tasting, like I'm a fucking connoisseur, but I kind of am, because I eat a lot of hot sauce, and I have for a long time, so maybe you should take my word for it, that it's delicious, and it's good, and it's fresh, and it's wonderful. So, I'm not going to bore you with a ton of yammering, because, you know, episode 43, it's been 43 episodes. You've heard enough about me for now. I want to talk about other people. I want to talk about Larry. I want to talk about Slim and Popular. I want to talk about Meow That's Hot. And I want to try some hot sauces. So what we're going to do is we're going to get right into this episode. And we're going to, we're going to get hot. Talk hot. Eat hot. It's great. All right, so let's do it. I'm going to play a song, and on the other side, we're going to come back with Mr. Larry Russell, and we're going to get hot. Did I just fucking say that? Jesus Christ, man. I need to fucking put step your game up. This is season 2, Ego and Vice.
I can't stand the sight of anyone.
Okay, we're back. This is episode 43 of Ego and Vice, season 2. Going on my new idea of trying to branch off, if you will, to cover the local music and also the local business. As I said in the intro, I have a guest on who is a double threat, but I just found out that he's actually a triple threat because he's also a cook, a chef. He's a chef.
I'm a trained chef with some time out of the kitchen at this point, but now kind of getting back into it.
All right. Who we have on the show right now is the bass player extraordinaire from a rad band called Slim and Popular. He is the mastermind behind the Meow That's Hot hot sauce brand. Mm-hmm. And he is also the co-owner, I'm sure, with his lovely wife.
And our other partner, John Kiley.
And the other partner of the restaurant Meow That's Hot. Mr. Larry Russell, welcome to Ego and Vice, man. I'm really happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me in.
Cool, man. Where do we begin? Because you're like a renaissance man. You like do it all. We can talk about the band. We can talk about the hot sauce. We can talk about the restaurant. Let's talk about the music first.
All right.
Being true to the whole Ego and Vice theme, you are the bass player in Slim and Popular. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about you. Maybe just touch on briefly, like, where did it all begin as far as music?
Music for me has been a lifelong sort of endeavor. We didn't really appreciate it at the time, but I have three younger brothers, and when we were young, we all took piano lessons up until the end of grade 8 in elementary school. And like I said, none of us were happy about it then, but I'm pretty happy it happened now because we all quit after grade 8, and a couple years later, I went to my parents and kind of asked to go back into it because I missed it.
Cool.
So
you're a pianist.
Yeah, well, sort of like the cooking, except a much longer time away from piano, but moved to Ottawa for university in 1991, and at that time I was majoring in music. My instrument for that was trombone, and my secondary instrument was piano, and then
the horn section.
Basically got into bands and ended up sort of falling into bass guitar, which is what I mainly play at this
point. Okay, so you've been in bands for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you recall some of the earlier bands, like how it all like came together?
Sure. Mostly just meeting friends through university. One of the earliest kind of serious bands was called Pleather, which was with Brendan Allestone, who I still play with.
Absolutely.
In Slim and Popular, we've been through, I don't even know how many different iterations of some kind of band over the last 20-something years.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are like old friends. You're like you've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, I think Brennan and I met probably in 92 or 93.
Okay.
Yeah. In between those, sort of, I played with Harshi, which was a sort of punk band with John Kiley, who's now a business partner, and I still play in a band called Thunder Uncle with John.
Okay, yeah.
And Jeff Martin of Neck and Garaga before that. Fame, yeah. So I did that for a few years, and yeah,
cool. Did you always play bass in the bands? Were you the bass player?
I have always been the bass player in the bands I've been in Ottawa. Yeah.
Okay, and how did Slim and Popular start?
Well, that was a band that Brendan and I started with. We had a few drummers, and it was more like a sort of a country tinged pop kind of. I don't know what to call these things, but it definitely has changed a lot since Dave Fott joined as the drummer. We are now like progressive hardcore, straight ahead speed core kind of.
Yeah, Dave's a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
He takes his shirt off, pulls his hair back in the ponytail. What's up, Dave Fott?
And then it's just a blur back there. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw you guys at House of Tar. God, it had to have been years ago. And I was like, what's happening here? Like, I didn't know any of you, right?
Yeah.
But it was just this fast thing, and there was this dude behind the drums with no shirt on, and fucking... Yeah, man. Slim and Popular are a rad band. I guess as far as, like, songwriting and stuff like that, is Brendan write lots of the songs? You guys collaborate and all that stuff, or...?
I think everybody has a little input. Brendan does write a lot of the songs and comes with completed sort of songs, sometimes maybe a little bit of lyrical help from the rest of us, or just little arrangement stuff.
Cool.
Dave also comes with ideas. I'm not much of a writer. My role in the bands I've been in Ottawa has always just been the side guy and bring my instrument and, you know, contribute that way.
Yeah, sure.
But Dave will bring, you know, a couple of riffs and be like, you know, I'm not sure how these are going to mash together, and we'll kind of work through it as a group and
cool.
That sort of thing. So it's always... collaborative in one way or another. And then, you know, as we work through set lists and that sort of thing, we all kind of have a say in what we want to keep playing live and what we want to drop. And
I'd love to have Dave on the show.
Yeah.
Because I find him a very interesting person.
Yeah, for sure.
Just briefly touch on him. What's his history as far as, like, has he always been a punk rocker?
I believe so. I mean, I know I'm a little bit hesitant because I might speak falsely here. But, I mean, he played in Four Stroke for a little while with Ken Ketchum. He played
this shirt, the t-shirt you're sporting today.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
That's a very nice shirt.
He played in Garaga when Jeff started that band for a little bit. I think he had a hand in Resin Scraper, and I know he was in Black Ball, which was a great sort of hardcore trio from, I'm not sure how long ago, but 8 or 10 years ago, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, I'd love to have Dave on the show. I might contact him. I've been trying to get Brandon on the show for about a year, but he keeps dodging me.
Yeah,
he keeps dodging me.
Dodgy guy.
Yeah, so maybe I'll, if I have you on the show and I have Dave on the show, maybe he'll just like succumb to it and be like, fine, I'll be on your show. And Brandon also cuts a good head of hair.
It's true.
I went for a haircut with him, and he made me look like a less old dude. So yeah, that's cool, man.
He's the only hairdresser that's touched my head in probably 12 years.
And that's a fine head of lettuce you got.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So what does the Slim and Popular have coming up? What's going on?
Well, we released our first sort of album. Well, not sort of album. It's a full-on album. Last September. So we've kind of been writing some new stuff and practicing. We do have a show coming September 6th at Targ with our friends in the Lindbergh Babies and a couple other great bands that escape me right now.
Yeah.
That's something to look forward to. And we'll probably, I think we're about, I don't know, maybe a third to halfway there for writing for a new album. So we'll look for that in the next year kind of thing.
And you can find Slim and Popular's record, Minimum Rage. I guess you guys have a website or whatever. I know it's at...
There's a Bandcamp site.
Bandcamp?
And you can order it from there. And you can also just, you know, find us at a show, and we've always got it with us.
Cool. Yeah.
And there should be copies at probably Birdman, the Record Center in Wellington. Troubadour Records and Books, where Brendan actually works, should have one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, you know, Facebook group, shoot us a message if you're in Ottawa, and we'll get one to you.
Cool.
Yeah.
And my band Goat always has a great time with Slim and Popular whenever we play together. Check out this record. Check out the band. Fast, furious, a lot of fun, a lot of energy. And fuck, man. Very, 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 very good. You know what we should do? Mm-hmm. That was a good opening segment. Why don't we play something off Minimum Rage? What would you like to hear?
I don't know. Let's see. How about we do... Well, the last song on the first side and the first song on the second side are both President Trump songs.
Okay.
Written before he was president, when we all thought there was no way it was going to happen.
There's no fucking way it's going to happen.
So they said what we were thinking then, and then they're pretty pretty great after... I mean... Not that anyone's happy it happened, but when it did happen, it was like, whoa.
Roseanne Barr's happy.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah, I shouldn't say nobody. we thought, like, man, these songs are going to be really reflective of the times.
For sure.
So I would say those, Nothing Personal or President Death, and they're only about a minute long, so.
I'll play both.
There you go.
We'll do a back-to-back. All right, we're going to play President Death and, what was the other one? Nothing Personal?
Nothing Personal.
Nothing Personal and President Death. We're doing a Slim and Popular back-to-back. I'm here with Larry Russell. This is episode 43 of Eagle and Vice. We have lots to cover. This man does a lot in the community, and he does a lot in the city. So after you listen to this, on the other side, we're going to come back and let's talk some hot sauce.
All right.
All right, this is Eagle and Vice.
We'll be right back.
Well, that ripped my face off. Fuck you, Donald Trump. I might edit that out. But no, I don't think I'm going to. I think that's appropriate, right? I'm here with Larry from Slim and Popular and also the mastermind behind the Meow That's Hot hot sauce.
Hello.
How did you start making hot sauce? When you were younger, did you always enjoy hot sauce, or was it one of those things you fell into? Or
No, it was kind of a, well, I mean, I never didn't enjoy it, I guess, but I never sought it out either. It was born on Preston Street when I was managing Il Piccolino restaurant, which is not there anymore, and Il Primo, which is still there, and is a great little Italian place to go check out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Piccolino had pizza as a large section of the menu, and we all know that pizza needs hot sauce. So, the chef at the time, I was the GM, and the chef at the time, and I, said we need some hot sauce, and JV, Jonathan Villa, who was, the chef there, came up with, what became Fire Kitty. Mm-hmm.
That's an edit.
Yep. So yeah, Jonathan came up with the recipe and people were using it and enjoying it and asking to buy it. So we kind of thought about it and said, well, maybe we should get some bottles and throw this stuff up on a shelf in the restaurant for sale. And we approached, the owner about the idea, and he basically said, if you guys want to run with it, go for it, but I don't want anything to do with it kind of thing. Just said, go try it. See mm-hmm. what happens.
See what happens.
So we did. Our first problem was coming up with something to call it. Which was solved by a little disposable lighter with a kitten on it that one night someone was like, hey, throw me the Fire Kitty.
Nice.
While we were out trying to think of a name for hot sauce, someone...
The know, inside joke. That's the way goat label or like names their EPs or their records.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's just some inside joke at the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what it's called. So yeah, I get that. Yeah, for sure.
So Fire Kitty it was, and Jonathan drew the logo, the bullet. By the end of the night, we had a few more names lined up. We had the company name, Meow That's Hot. And we had a logo and a label, and off we went.
Cool. And when you made the first batch of Fire Kitty, like, what was that all about? You just started, you went in the kitchen with your wide eyes and crazy ideas and said, let's see what we can do here.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think the recipe was mostly JV. It wasn't me, it was him. But then that recipe, which is based on apples and jalapeno peppers, basically, kind of started the theme of fruit, which is what we're still doing today. All of our sauces are made with fruit, mm-hmm. which gives them all really great flavor, really unique colors. They're all very different from each other. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of hot sauce companies will have, you know, a jalapeno sauce and a habanero sauce and a this sauce, where it's mostly about the pepper, mm-hmm. which is great. But we're going for flavor first and maybe a little less heat than a lot of other companies. I mean, if you really want to hurt yourself, there's lots out there that you can use to do that. But if you want to enjoy something and, you know, explore some flavors and some different ideas of combinations, then that's what we're kind of all about.
I respect that a lot because I enjoy hot sauce. I enjoy putting hot sauce on things. Like if I eat like a sandwich or like you said, pizza or like a taco or something like that, I need some sort of little kick right there. But I don't want, maybe when I was a kid, I used to challenge myself, like, I will eat the hottest thing in the world, you sure. know what I mean? But now when you said it's all about flavor, not so much about heat, love the heat, love the, like, a little, like, the afterburn or whatever, but mm-hmm. as long as the flavor is there, that's my main go-to for hot sauce. As long as it's tasty and it gives me that little, you know, as long as the endorphins kind of run a little bit in my brain.
I mean, the super hot stuff is still fun, and I mean,
oh, yeah.
But, like, I've said to people, I don't want to be that bottle of hot sauce that you buy to, you know, put a little bit in your roommate's coffee or something and you all laugh.
Just to fuck with him.
You all laugh except for him. And then, you know, 10 years later when you move, you throw it in the garbage because you haven't touched it since.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Nowadays, like, yeah, once in a while, like, the hot stuff, sometimes I'll crave it because I guess, I don't know what it is with hot sauce, but it's addictive and you just want, you, like, need it. Like, when I say, like, I make food and I have to put some on, sometimes I'll put it on like a mild sauce and I'll eat it. And it's just like, nope, you know what? I'm going heavy. Because mm-hmm. every person who likes hot sauce, even though they're like flavor first, has a couple.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That will like peel paint type of deal. Mm-hmm. Still delicious. Like I said earlier, we had Heiko from Heiko's Hot Sauce on last week.
Yep.
and he makes a wide variety of hot sauce, much like you.
He does,
all natural stuff, and his outlook on hot sauce is the same. It's like flavor first. It's natural ingredients. It's not just fucking destroy yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so I know that he also talked about how the hot sauce community is kind of a tight-knit community that helps each other out. And I know you help him. I think you sell his sauce at your place too.
We do have Heiko's sauce on the shelves at the restaurant, and his and Simple Simon's, who's Simon Lang, who actually I worked with on Preston Street for a while way back. And we have one there right now by Slim's Pepper Company, actually four different varieties, and that's a hot sauce company from London, Ontario, which is a little outside our sort of local mandate, but you know, he was in Ottawa and really wanted us to give it a go. So hey, you know, we're all in the same industry,
same,
and there's
steamboat
room for everyone. We always say like collaboration, not competition, right?
Yeah, it's funny. It's like it is like subculture. It's almost like bands, you know, where bands try to help each other out, local bands and stuff like that, just trying to get by. And you'll be like, support my band, like support my boy, support this, my friends and stuff like that. It's nice that it's the same way in local business when it comes to like hot sauce.
Sure, and I mean, you're starting
craft beers or
craft beer is a great example, and you're starting to see it in restaurants now, especially the small independent guys like neighbors, I guess, are always working together and trying to do stuff and help each other out.
Yeah, that's really great. So you started with Fire Kitty, the one.
That's right.
But you said you have 12?
We have 11 right now.
11. How did it expand? Like, did you say, okay, this is a hit, like this is working. How do you go back into the kitchen and just say, we're going to make 11 more? I'm sure it didn't happen all at once.
It didn't. It happened over basically, it's been 11 years, so... it happens in spurts. We try to release one or two. Well, two has been the normal sort of how it's happened every year or two kind of thing. So after the Fire Kitty, we, I believe, went to the Siamese Sizzler, which was an orange, or still is, an orange, carrot, and ginger sauce with Thai chilies. We did a barbecue sauce just because we wanted to have something for people who weren't really ready for the hot sauce experience, you know, and something kid friendly too. And then went for that from there. We just released two this month. One is a pineapple habanero mustard called Meowstard.
That's awesome.
And we have a watermelon habanero sauce as well called Lynx Lava that we just finally
Right. That's got so
out.
Interesting because you said you make it all with fruit.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. And it's probably some unique flavors as well, too, like the watermelon hot sauce.
Yeah, it's great. I've got some with me. We'll maybe get you to try it here.
Yeah, we should do a little taste segment because I have a spoon and I may have some. I may go just plain spoon, but I may put it on some pita bread. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah,
I bought some pita bread just in case. Okay. As far as the hot sauce goes, I want to talk about it a little bit more, and I also want to get into the restaurant.
Yeah.
The restaurant. You're a restaurateur, my friend.
It's true.
And we'll get to that soon, but let's play another song. I have no idea what we're going to do. We already did a Slim and Popular one. I'll probably end on a Slim and Popular song. Is there anything you want to hear local?
Let's find some Lindbergh Babies and throw that up. We're sharing the stage with them on the 6th, and they're great friends of ours. And it's really good stuff.
Okay.
And John, our other business partner, is in that band as well. He's the drummer in that band.
So. Okay, we'll play some Lindbergh Babies. We don't know what song we're going to play. We'll name it when we get back.
There we go.
All right, this is Eagle and Vice.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. That was the Lindbergh Babies, fucking rad Ottawa band, who Slim and Popular have a show with. We'll plug all that stuff at the end. Right now, I just want to get into the hot sauces. Larry brought me some Meow That's Hot hot sauces to try. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do something unprecedented here on Ego and Vice. I'm going to try them live on air.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
All right. So the first one I want to try is the Fire Kitty, which is the original, the OG.
Right. So this is the first product we had. Mm-hmm. We've kind of already told the story of it, but it's an apple jalapeno sauce. Mm-hmm. Lots of garlic, a little bit of paprika. Really great all-purpose sauce. Good to replace like Frank's or Tabasco or Louisiana-style hot sauce. It's a little thicker, more flavor to it, but that kind of heat level.
It's got a nice, sharp flavor. Or a smell.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, let's do it. I'm going to put a little on a spoon here. I had some pita, but you know what? I'm just going bareback.
Yeah, it's the best way to really taste it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's kind of like a lovely reddish orange.
Yeah, it looks like fancy ketchup.
And here we go.
So Mike is trying the sauce.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I've had Fire Kitty before.
Mm-hmm.
I have one in the cupboard, and I've used it on many a sandwich and other things I've eaten. It's an amazing sauce. It's bright. It's vibrant. Little tangy. It's got a mild heat, kind of a mild heat, but yeah, it's like Larry said earlier, it's all about flavor, and that is a delicious sauce. Consistency is a little thick. You don't want like that watery Tabasco type of stuff. It's like a beautiful, smooth consistency. And
yeah, that's one of the things we get from using the fruit is we always get a little bit of, you know, a thicker sauce usually.
Well, you don't want it to run down your arm. You want it to stay on the thing you're eating.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Or as you're chugging the bottle at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, in a fit of sadness.
Yeah. So that's the original sauce. It's still our best seller. Like I said, great all purpose. Use it for everything.
Yeah. I'm going to post some pictures. Awesome labels too. I guess that's your mascot. That's the Meow That's Hot cat.
That is the, that's the Fire Kitty. Yeah, they're all the same cat, really.
Yeah. Does he have a name, or is it just the Fire Kitty?
I'm going to just call him Fire Kitty.
I think you should start, like, a petition or some sort of, like, contest and name the cat.
Well, you know, we have tried that before, and it doesn't really work out well.
No,
people's minds really go straight to the gutter.
Oh, I'm not even going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a family show, minus...
That's right. Minus the family.
Minus the family and the occasional F-bomb, and the F doesn't stand for family, my friends. All right, the next one we're going to try is Persian Pyro.
Yeah, so this is my favorite of the whole lineup. It's been challenged. I always keep coming back to it, though. When the new ones come out, I kind of, you know, use them a lot, and now, you know, we've got the two new ones, and I'm back to the Pyro all the time. So this one started off, actually, as a mango sauce for a friend's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And we do custom sauces for weddings and fundraisers and other businesses and that sort of thing. And then we switched it to peaches because we try to use fruit that we can get from Ontario when we can.
Yeah, peaches in there. I was reading the ingredients. Jalapeno peppers and peaches. Amazing.
Yeah. Thai chilies as well. The red bird's eye chilies.
Mm-hmm.
And then lots of ginger and garlics and some Indian spices. It was kind of a chutney-inspired
All right, let's do it.
Flavor.
Oh, the smell is beautiful. Okay, here we go. It almost smells... I don't know. I'm not a chef. I don't know what the smell is, but I've smelt it before.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, consistency is much like the Fire Kitty.
Yep.
Color is much like it.
And this one, I mean, we use it for marinades a lot. You can mix any of them with, like, sour cream or plain yogurt or just make a little taco sauce
or
a condiment out of them.
It doesn't always have to be poured directly on your food. It can be used as an ingredient.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that. All right, so Persian Pyro, here we go. Woo! That's a little hotter.
It is, yeah. We're tasting them in a level of increasing heat just because that's the proper way to taste things.
Yep. It's got a little bit more of a kick. Peaches. Oh, I don't even know how to describe that. That's amazing. That's delicious.
So it's got the same sort of...
You can taste like the spices in it for sure, like the ginger and the cilantro and, mm-hmm. and the garlic for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And same sort of heat as the Fire Kitty in the sense that it's jalapeno and Thai chilies, which are very front of the palate kind of heat. Mm-hmm. So it's all lips and tongue is where the heat is. And then it kind of expands to your full mouth, but it doesn't really get you like the next ones that we'll try, which both have habanero in them.
Mm.
And those kind of hit you in the back of the palate, like in the back of the throat first.
I love how there is like a consistency to it. Like there's like, little herbs or maybe some garlic or something that will, like, you can chew it a little bit. Mm. Where it's not just like red water. You know what I mean? Like a Frank's Red Hot or some boring thing. Like,
oh, there's a place for those sauces.
But I suppose. Know. I'm not knocking any giant billion-dollar companies, but I'm more on the side of this, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. So are we, obviously.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Because I'm just going to keep going because this is delicious. This is the best part of my job.
So we just have two more that I brought for you to try, and these are the two newest. We just released these, I'm not sure, maybe 3 weeks ago. It was in August, anyway. Mm-hmm. The first one is a mustard-based hot sauce. We're calling it Meowstard. It's made with pineapple, habanero, mustard. There's a little bit of tarragon in there, garlic, of course. I think some onion. Mm. And it's sort of, we've been sitting on this, well, not sitting on it, but kind of reworking and tweaking this recipe for a couple of years, mm-hmm. Which seems to be about how long it takes us. Usually it takes us from an idea to out in the bottom, labeled on the shelf, between a year and 2 years.
Well, you got
to
get it right?
Yeah, that's right.
You don't rush.
This is sort of inspired. My favorite hot sauces are the, like, Barbados style mustard, like the Caribbean mustard style sauces. Yeah. I love them.
Ever since I was a kid, I've loved, like, mustard. I had a friend who asked me one time, I don't know, there's this thing, and they were like, what's your favorite food? And they're like, steak. And then they're like, chicken. I'm like, mustard. That's my favorite thing. I put it on everything. I put it on, like, mac and cheese. I put it on pasta. Like, I have a problem.
Well, no, it's not a problem. It's a good Canadian thing to do because we're the largest producer of mustard in the world.
Well, there you go. And I am a strong, strong, proud Canuck.
There you go.
I am there, bud.
It's a fun fact that not a lot of people know.
Yeah.
But we produce almost 30% of the world's mustard.
I actually didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I know there's, like, French's and Heinz and all that stuff. I think Heinz is American, though.
Oh, probably. But I mean, the actual, like, seed, the mustard.
The mustard
seed. The raw
seed.
Mustard. Seed, yeah.
See, Canada? Way to go. You did it again. You sons of bitches. All right, so Meowstard.
Yeah. So this one, Mike is pouring onto his spoon.
It looks like mustard.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a Dijon mustard.
Kind of like we were going for, like, a ballpark kind of a yellow mustard, but it is fresh mustard seed, so you do get a little bit of the...
Yeah, and all your sauces have this that same lovely consistency, which would stick to your food.
Mm-hmm.
And... I'm going to eat this. I'm not going to lie. I ate about 5 spoonfuls before we did this segment, but I'm going to go for my 6th right now.
Yeah, so mustard obviously will be the big flavor with this one, but you'll get a burst of the sweetness from the pineapple.
Oh, yeah, you get that for sure.
And then the habanero, as you know, takes maybe 4 or 5 seconds to actually bring on the heat. It starts in the back of your palate, like back of the throat.
Yep. It will, first you get the flavor. Then it slowly just kind of, you can feel that heat. Definitely taste the sweetness. Definitely taste the pineapple. Mm-hmm. Definitely taste the spices. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, and that's sort of our unofficial slogan is flavor first, right?
That is an amazing, fresh, delicious sauce, Meowstard. And that's one of your new ones, you said?
That is new, yeah.
Oh, man, that's going to be a hit. That's going to be a hit. Once that, like, gets to the masses, like the Fire Kitty, you got some competition. I love that sauce. I love that sauce. And I'm glad you brought me one because I'm going to buy it.
And the other new release is the Lynx Lava, which you now have in your hand.
Oh, yep.
So now we've kind of departed a little bit from that thicker consistency because this is a watermelon-based sauce.
Watermelon. And watermelons are probably 98% water.
At least.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is really unique, though, like to say, here's a hot sauce. What's in it? Watermelon. What?
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about?
We make all of our products with fruit, and, you know, sometimes when you need ideas, you just go to the grocery store or go online and say fruit and see what you can find.
Hmm.
Like I said, we're trying to stay with local, or at least Ontario-grown fruit. Mm-hmm. The pineapple, obviously, is a bit of a departure in the Meowstard, and we also have an orange-based sauce that we've had since nearly the beginning, which we love, so we're going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
But watermelon was something... You know, we hadn't tried, so we gave it a go.
I'm dying to just smell this. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious because watermelon in a hot sauce to me is like kind of super far out there. So I'm very, 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 very curious.
Yep.
Woo! It almost smells like... I don't even know what that smells like. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm not a food connoisseur, so I don't know what it smells like, but it smells... familiar for some reason.
Well, I can tell you what's in there. So there's watermelon, obviously.
Yep.
Habanero peppers for heat. There's some basil in there, garlic and everything, like there always should be.
It's very, very, very vibrant, though. Like, it's like,
yep.
Wow. Definitely. That, like, goes right up into your brain.
Some red bell peppers, just because we need something for a little bit of thickness, just to give a little bit of body.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of reinforces that red color that we're going for.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
So Here we go.
This one's quite a step up from the
others. Hotter?
This is one of our hottest for sure.
All right, let's do
Still it. Would be considered like a medium sauce, though, in the grand scheme of
Ooh,
things.
Ooh, consistency is that a lot?
That's quite a bit, but you know.
It just kind of poured out. But I am an expert. Jesus Christ. If this kills me, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, okay. You'll be okay.
Here we go. This is the Lynx Lava.
Yeah.
And it just poured onto my spoon, so here we go.
Yeah, it is a little thinner, like I said, because it's basically made of water. Melon.
Fresh again. Well, there it is.
Yep. So again, you get the fruit first, the nice watermelon summery kind of flavor, and now,
because...
A little red. He's turning a little red.
Because the consistency is a little more, less, it's a little thinner.
Yeah.
It just spreads through your mouth like immediately.
That's a good point.
It's not like that thing where it just sits on your tongue and you can kind of maneuver it. This one, because it's a little bit more liquid based, as soon as you put it in your mouth, it's just like it's in the back of your throat. It's between your teeth. It's below your gums. You taste the freshness. I think I do. I taste some watermelon in there. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Crazy. But yeah, that's a little warm. That's leaking down the back of my throat. Absolutely delicious. I'm going to do one more small thing because I'm just going to do it justice for all of them. I think I did everyone a couple times, but I'm going to go much smaller.
Well, that first dose was, it was like you were taking some Dime Tap or something.
Yes, like some Buckley's.
Yeah.
Yeah, tastes awful. No, this doesn't taste awful, though. This tastes delicious. Did you bring that, too?
I think I brought everything, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to buy them all. Absolutely fantastic. You can taste the spices in that too. Like, you can taste the sweetness, but mm-hmm. then the spices come through. Absolutely wonderful. And you need to pick up some of this stuff, especially the new ones. Always go for the Fire Kitty, the Persian Pyro, but the Meowstered, the Lava Lynx. My goodness, I just killed myself. I love it. Delicious. All right, Larry might not need to take a break, but I need to take a break. Look at me, I can't even talk right now.
We can take a little break. Maybe I'll run to the store and get you some milk or something.
Yeah, fuck it. I think I have some ice cream sandwiches in the fridge.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I'm going to play a song. Don't know what it's going to be. This will be a song of my choosing, so let's do it. All right, we'll be right back. Ego and Vice. As I recover from all the hot sauce I just ate, oh my goodness, wonderful! I'm feeling great. My things are firing in my brain that didn't fire before Larry got here.
You're king of the world.
I'm the king of the world. I can do anything. I should buy a boat. Anyway, Meow, that's hot. You have a restaurant.
Yeah, we just opened a little kitchen and bar at 519 Bank. So it's just north of the Queensway on Bank Street in Centertown. Opened near the beginning of April. We basically, so in the 11 years we've been making the hot sauce, we, like I said earlier, we made it at the restaurants I managed on Preston Street for quite a while, even after I'd left the employ of said restaurants. Craig, the owner, is a great guy, still a great friend, and was cool with us continuing to produce the products there, which was a huge help in growing the company. And then about, well, I'm coming on 5 years ago, I guess, we were approached by Farm Boy. They wanted to carry a few of the sauces, and they do still to this day. Mm-hmm. And that kind of made us pause and say, okay, well, we need to think about how we're going to manage this growth and, you know, how we're going to deal with this. And the problem with the restaurant as a production facility was that it's a restaurant. So the kitchen was not available unless it was closed, which was overnight and holidays. Mm-hmm. And getting into supplying a bigger company like Farm Boy and then hoping to grow it further, we kind of decided that wasn't going to work for us. So we started looking for a rental kitchen. And our good friends, who I'm sure you know, were just opening House of Targ.
Right.
And Kevin approached me and said they heard we were looking for a place and, you know, they weren't going to be open Monday or Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And if we wanted Mondays, we could have their kitchen. And they provided some storage for us, which was great. And, you know, also a wonderful place to do any kind of work, because if you ever need a break, there's, you know, a dozen plus pinball machines and a whole lot of video games.
Yeah,
and
there's always something to do there.
And a great sound system, and yeah. So that's where we made the sauce for about, well, up until this, like, July, basically. Mm-hmm. And they were great, great partners, still working with them on a lot of things.
So you make the sauce exclusively out of the restaurant now?
Yes.
Okay.
So the whole impetus behind building our own place was to have our own kitchen.
Okay.
We kind of hit a ceiling, I think, where we weren't going to be able to grow it very much more with the amount of time we had to produce. So we started looking for a space actually a couple of years ago, and we came close a couple of times and then just kind of fell through for one reason or another. And we found this space around the beginning of last summer, and looked like a good fit, and here we are. We took the space over in August, and it took us the winter to build it and get through all the mountains of red tape and mm-hmm. deal with the city and the landlord and, you know, our own financial issues and everything else.
Well, hey, man, I can't even imagine opening a business like that. But and what's the address of Meow That's Hot?
So it's 519 Bank Street.
519 Bank Street.
Yeah.
And you're kind of Glebe-ish.
We're just north of the Glebe, yeah. Just
a little more in the center town, I think.
Yeah, the only thing standing between us and the Glebe is the Queensway, basically.
Goddamn Queensway.
Yeah.
I love the idea of your restaurant that on your menu, whatever is on the menu as far as food, you pair it with your hot sauces.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
that's a really great concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, the hot sauce, we're trying hard to not lose sight of the fact that it's the hot sauce that got us to this point, mm-hmm. and that we built it for the hot sauce. It's not a huge place. We have 26 seats, mostly at one long bar, and then a little bit of, we have 6 tables in the dining area. And yeah, having the hot sauce pairings instead of a wine pairing, right? It's also
it's
a little
brilliant.
Bit tongue
really
in cheek
is.
And yeah. Sort of, you know, we want it to be casual and we want everyone to feel welcome there.
Yeah. Definitely. I think there's a lot of people out there that love hot sauces. I think they are. And to have a place like that where it's kind of like that niche market where it's just like, let's go to this place where I can have like a club sandwich. I don't know if that's on your menu. I apologize.
We have sandwiches.
Yeah. When I was in Meow That's Hot twice. Mm-hmm. I went there once to eat and once to do the open mic with Slow Tom.
Right.
Ottawa legend.
Yep.
But I had the sandwich. The food was delicious. I had my variety of hot sauces. I don't think I, even though it was paired to the sandwich, I think I had a bunch of other hot sauces like I
yeah,
put on
of
it.
Course.
So it was wonderful. But how did you get affiliated with Slow Tom? That crazy old legend.
Yeah. Well, I've known Tom for quite a long time now. Mm-hmm. I think probably through John and Jeff. So John Kiley, who is our other business partner, and Jeff Martin, who I played with the two of them in a band called Harshi, and they're old friends of Tom and that whole, you know, 90s music scene in Ottawa. They were here and they were part of it. I play in a band with Dave Dudley, who was from Furnace Face and Manpower and other things that Tom's done.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've known Tom for a long time, and you know, Tom's one of the owners of Spaceman, and we wanted to, again, we want to work with other businesses. So we're, you know, talking, how can we do something with you guys? Mm-hmm. So he had the idea of, well, let's do a songwriter's night at your place, and Spaceman is kind of the sponsor of it. We want to try and help promote their new school of music where they're doing
right
lessons
through Spaceman.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Tom was on the show a little while ago, and he was talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea was a songwriter night, which, you know, I love open stages, but I know I've been to a few where it gets a little bit.
You don't want to hear Hotel California?
Well, actually, I'd love to see someone try Hotel California. But yeah, that was kind of the thing. I mean, Steph's worked places before, my wife, Steph Christie, with open stage where, you know, once you've worked it a few weeks and it's the same people playing the same Tom Petty song and
Wonderwall.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gets a little tedious. So our idea was, okay, or Tom's idea really, was let's make it more of a place to workshop new material and not necessarily just music, but we have stand-up comedians coming in.
Awesome.
We'd love to get some poetry reading. Mm-hmm. Any kind of spoken word stuff. I mean, anything that's an original act.
Anything creative, not just like regurgitating something like...
Basically, yeah.
I get that, yeah.
So that's the rule. So for music, I mean, you get 3 songs or 10 minutes, and 2 of the songs have to be originals.
Cool. Yeah, I've hosted my share of open mics. I used to host the open mic on George Street or York Street for 88.5, the Live Lounge.
Yep.
I did that for about 1.5 years, and then I had another open mic where I hosted at Moose McGuire's up here in South Ottawa, and I completely get...
We make a custom hot sauce for Moose McGuire's.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. I completely get what you're talking about with, like, open mics where people will come in and just, like, I only know this one song, and it's by Ani DiFranco. Mm. It's just, like, I love the idea, and that I can see that coming from Tom's brain, too, of just, like, let's just make it, like, a... If you have a song and it's, you know, it's creative, it's like a demo, just come out and play it.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's a songwriter's night. I think it's a great idea. Great
it's
idea.
It's a small space. It's a friendly crowd. It's a supportive environment. And like getting up there and trying something new, even for like a veteran of the scene or a longtime songwriter, right? New material is always a little bit iffy. Even if you think it's great, you might, you know, need to work on it a bit. And it's a great place to meet other songwriters, too. We've had some really great talent come through. And we're expecting it to continue. We do it every Tuesday.
Awesome. I've been out. I played some songs. Yeah, it's just supporting the arts community in Ottawa, really. It's, you know, like if you have something you say, like you said, with like poetry or stand-up comedy, just come out and be creative and be you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I love that message, you know what I mean? Like anybody can learn, again, sorry, like Wonderwall and go up and play it, but nobody really cares that much. Play something, even if you're not... super confident with it, just play your thing, do you, and the people in this kind of scene will appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Regardless, we're not gonna judge you. We're gonna be like, that was awesome, man, good job.
Yep.
Good job. And I respect that 100%,
and it totally fits our sort of mandate or our theme, which is to support local. And you know, we've got, like we talked about, we've got Heiko's hot sauce, we've got another hot sauce, Simple Simons on the shelf, guys that we know that are producing in Ottawa. We have Sarah's stuff, Top Shelf Preserves. I don't know if you know Sarah, but makes great pickles and preserves. We've got some locally roasted coffee from Brown Bag Coffee Roasters in Gatineau. Locally made soap, local honey, local olive oil, which is a really cool story. They're called Iliash and Sons, and it's a family who owns an olive grove in Greece. But they live in Ottawa.
How convenient.
So, yeah. So they harvest in Greece, and then they ship it over and flavor and pack it here. And, you know, Ottawa, all local craft beer on tap, all local craft beer in the fridge, all Ontario ciders. We've got an all Ontario wine list. Most of our bar rail is from Ottawa or close by. Like we're using Perth Distilleries for our vodka, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we're trying to do. Our uniform is wear something local,
right?
So you can wear our branded stuff if you're working, but if you're not, like this
four stroke t-shirt
is perfectly fine.
Support the local
and other businesses too. Again, it makes it a better place to live and a better place to do business, and a more fun life for everybody if we all support each other and kind of celebrate where we're from.
The reason I started Eagle and Vice was to celebrate or just promote local, everything local.
Mm-hmm.
Build the community, help everybody out, and who knows where we can go. So we're speaking from the same, we're reading from the same book, my friend.
That's right.
And I respect that fully. Where would you like to see Meow That's Hot going in the future?
Well, for now, I think we're going to just focus on kind of getting our footing where we're in our new space and see where we can take that. And, you know, after a year almost of building a place and construction, I'm going to try to start focusing on the business side of the hot sauce again and start growing that because we kind of neglected it while we were busy.
Well, shit, life happens, right?
That's right. So yeah, I'm hitting the old sales trail again and going around with this sample bag that I've got here, and you know,
which I will purchase many things out of. It's like Mr. Dressup's tickle trunk.
That's right.
It's like, what do we have today, boys and girls? And my wallet is like open and salivating.
So yeah, that, and we'll keep. The menu at the restaurant, I should mention, nothing is spicy on the menu. Because we want everyone to be welcome in the space and to come enjoy what we've built. And but, of course, we have ways to remedy that,
and
if
yeah.
you like. Menu changes all the time, so we'll keep sort of evolving that way. It's one of the advantages of a small place that, mm-hmm. you know, if we run out of something, mm-hmm. if we like it, we'll do it again. If we like it, we'll do it again. And then if we've done it for a few rounds, then maybe we, you know, put something new on there.
Might get some favorites, that type of stuff.
Yeah, and as we grow and get more comfortable, we've started making our own fresh pasta. We're making all our own desserts now. We're starting to make some of our own breads. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna get to the point where we're sort of self-sufficient and really flexible and easy to, we can change on a minute's notice depending on what's available from the farmers we work with and. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Well, I have nothing but high hopes and tons of respect for what you're doing with Meow That's Hot, the hot sauce, and the restaurant, and the band.
Yeah, cheers.
Anybody who wants to go out and just have some great food and some great hot sauce and some great atmosphere and just support the local, go to Meow That's Hot at
519 Bank Street.
519 Bank Street, because you won't be disappointed. Great people, great food. Great hot sauces. We're going to play one more song from Slim and Popular, then we're going to come back and Larry is going to plug all his crazy life a la social media. So what would you like to hear?
Let's see. Let's go with the first track on the album. Stay with the kind of political leaning themed song. So the first one there, War Machine.
All right. This is Slim and Popular. This is Eagle and Vice. We'll be right back. That was War Machine by Slim and Popular off their brand new record, Minimum Rage.
It's a year old.
Larry, this has been a great, great podcast. I'm super happy you came out. We had a great conversation. I ate some delicious sauces. Can you tell us like where we can get a hold of, I don't know, find your music with Slim and Popular, find your hot sauces, talk about the restaurant, links for that kind of stuff?
Sure. So Slim and Popular, you can find us on Facebook if you just search Slim and Popular Ottawa. You can also find us on Bandcamp, same kind of same idea. The music's there. You can order the record through there. You can contact us through Facebook too. If you're in Ottawa especially, don't buy it online. Just shoot us an email and we'll bring it to you. Meow That's Hot, you can come visit us at 519 Bank Street. We open at 5 on Tuesday. That's our songwriters night, which is a great night to come and check it out, have a little food, see some local talent, and enjoy some hot sauce, maybe a game of pinball. And then we open at 11:30 Wednesday to Friday and close, you know, 9 or 10 or 11 or 12, depending on what's going on. And on the weekends, open at noon on Saturday and until late. And Sunday, we have a little brunch menu. We open at 11 and close around 3 or 4, depending, again, on how the business is. And then we take a break Sunday night and Monday. You can also find Meow That's Hot online. We have a website, meowthatshot.ca. You can link to our online store from there. Find us on Facebook at just facebook.com/meowthatshot. Twitter and Instagram, at meowthatshot, one word. And, yeah. But mostly, if you're in Ottawa, come on down and hang out, have a beer, have a sandwich or a little bit of pasta, and try some hot sauce.
All the links that Larry just said, I will post them on the podcast when it comes out. And yeah, check it out. Great food, great people, great hot sauce, and great music. What's the next Slim and Popular show? You said it earlier. But
oh, yeah. We do have a show coming up September 6th. So that'll be, we're supporting some out-of-town bands with Lindbergh Babies, who are our friends here in Ottawa that we heard earlier. And it's a Thursday night, which is always a great way to get a little head start on your weekend and enjoy some local rock and roll.
Cool, man. Again, I want to thank you again just for coming in, telling your tale, bringing me some delicious hot sauces, and I will be at that Slim and Popular show, and I'll also be back at Meow That's Hot for another delicious sandwich with some meowstered.
Yeah, and come play some more songs some Tuesday.
I will. Slow Tom, he owes me one. I think he does. Anyway, if you want to get a hold of me, you can always reach me at egoandvice@gmail.com. You can check all the podcasts out at egoandvice.com. I'm available on iTunes, Google Play, Facebook, Podomatic, anywhere you can kind of search it. I'm still working on that Spotify thing, so just hang tight, people. But this has been episode 43 with my man Larry.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
All right, and we'll see you next week.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.